SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two. Fun conversation with Michael. And, you know, just I just realized that I had that. I presented the trophy for the Triple Bend. And that was I got to find that picture now. I mean, it's somewhere. I got to put it in a frame. Andy Serling joins us. And Andy, of course, was invoked yesterday by Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge winner Chuck Rubbs, who said he watched all the videos, and Andy's opinion on Gunavera helped reinforce Chuck's own view of the race and helped him win the BCBC. Andy, I thought that was really nice of Chuck to, you know, say that out loud.
It was, but I don't want to gloss over your trophy presentation for the Triple Bend. I don't, you know, you don't want to sort of bury the lead like that, right?
You're such an asshole. I just was looking at BPs.
You know, I don't really think that your listeners fully got to get in the middle of that story. I mean, you sort of started it and you dropped it, and then you started praising me, which is very nice, and that was extremely nice yesterday, and I very much appreciate that. But, you know, you presented the Triple Bend. Did you throw that at Hollywood Park?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
I think that's 7.5 furlongs, is that possible? Weird race. Well, what do I know? I didn't present the trophy.
I saw you presenting a trophy, though, a couple of weeks ago. You were,
it must have been an accident. I think I presented the Frisette, actually. And
yes.
The horse went on and won the Breeders' Cup. So I should take some of the credit for that, too.
Absolutely. You and I both.
I'm taking credit for somebody very smart winning the BCBC. That was very nice. And I agree. I appreciate that a great deal.
Well, I guess since we are starting in on BC, maybe we'll just stay with that, and then we'll come back to Aqueduct opening, because there were some cool things happened and some good performances, and we'll talk about it. But some thoughts, you know, what was your reaction to the 2 days, and how'd you make out?
Yeah, I think I won a couple dollars, nothing too special. I wasn't playing that much. I didn't love this Breeders' Cup, to be honest with you. I mean, the race I liked the most on the first day was the turf, which was juvenile turf, which I was right about. I mean, to be honest, I really just wanted to see newspaper record do well. So that was nice, and that made me happy. And I didn't have anything super smart, you know, the other days. I don't think this was the most, from the standpoint of championship races, I thought this was one of the least interesting Breeders' Cups I'd seen in a while, to be honest. And I'm not surprised that didn't 11 favorites, 11 first or second choices win, right? It looked pretty chalky looking through it. It didn't look too like there were, you know, a huge amount of greatly vulnerable favorites. There were, I didn't see them, you know. Enable coming over was cool. She can get that pantheon of most overrated, actually good, potentially great horses of all time. She's very, very good. Where she stands, I don't know. Don't really know enough about the Europeans to know enough, but she's terrific. I think the Breeders' Cup Mile proved that we knew that the U.S. and Europeans were decidedly mediocre, and that's why they all hit the wire together. City of Light was really good. That was nice to see. He's been a really nice horse all year. The only horse to beat Accelerate, capped off just a sensational season. He would get the Horse of the Year vote from me if I had a vote. I don't. He had a full year. I'm sure I understand why people are voting to Justify, and that's fair. I don't think that's unfair. It'll be interesting to see where the Triple Crown discussion goes in the next 10 years, because, as you know, I was hardly surprised that we saw another one that quickly, and I won't be surprised when we see them again. I don't know. You know, I don't think Roy H. was terrific. The Mottomley girl, you know, she capped off what's been a great year. I mean, she really had a great season. Incredible, right? She didn't run a single bad race. Right? She finished first in every race, right? She was in this year. Justifiably DQ'd, but she still ran the best race in the Cotillion.
Yep.
I thought she was the best horse in the Distaff, and I understand sort of the frustration with Wildcat. And she did, you know, she obviously ended up way too far back, but who's to say she would have had that same kick if she had been in a different position? I think the best horse won that race, but I can understand some of the frustration with Wildcat, but she ran very well. I'm sorry to see Abel Tasman end her career. I assume her career is over.
She retired, yes.
She was such a good horse that, you know, you'd like to have seen her gone out in a different direction, but I think it's, you know, it, just summarily dismissing unusually poor performances on short-priced horses is never really a great idea. So, but I don't, you know, I enjoy it. I mean, the Breeders' Cup's fun. It's an orgy of terrific races, right? We do it in New York, particularly on Belmont Day and Travers Day, and they're exciting, fun days. But I don't think that if you were to take an overview of Breeders' Cups, this was a particularly memorable one. No, 1988.
Well, that the weather, at least on Friday, the weather was somewhat similar.
1988 as well. It was 38 yes. degrees and rainy and snowy. So,
yes, you
know, great racing overcomes weather. You can't just have to, you know, you can't really get too caught up in the weather. So listen, I mean, it's always a terrific, fun weekend of racing. I just don't think that in the grand scheme of things, this is one that will be remembered as one of the most historically. And there's always going to be one or two things you take away from them, and obviously a Naval would probably be the one thing.
Yes.
And I'm very happy for Accelerate and John Sadler. And John Sadler took, I mean, he took a lot of abuse deservedly. I mean, he hadn't been winning, right? He was 0-40-something, yep. and Catalina Cruiser loses, and et cetera. But, you know, but racing is all about opportunity, right? And chances to redeem yourself. And he did in the most important way and did a great job with that horse. And that horse had a sensational season. And I like to see horses like that rewarded. I don't get overly caught up in the Eclipse Awards, so I'm not going to shed any tears. You know, ever since Blame lost, I found it to be more of a popularity contest than an actual vote for who the horse who was the most deserving in every way. And, you know, it is what it is. I wish that all the voters paid as much attention as they should. But I guess that's true of all voting, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Hope that, one of the problems is that, you know, there's too many people have votes. There's sort of a mediocre vetting process for who gets votes. And a lot of people, I mean, I know people who shouldn't have a vote that do a great job. But I think overall, probably let a lot of people vote that probably shouldn't be voting.
I also think that there's, in a lot of cases, there's been an over-reliance, and this is more on the human categories than it is on the horses.
Well, the human categories was awful.
Yes.
They get it wrong annually.
Exactly. That is maddening to me.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is a little bit of actual, you know, research and work and digging beneath the surface. But the people that open up the little brochure they send out and right. vote the top three based on earnings. I mean, that's just
it's irresponsible. Probably the best way to do the Eclipse for the human categories would be to find the right 10. It's in racing never finds the right 10. You know, we find maybe the right 2 and the wrong 8.
Committee.
I mean, it seems like more qualified people to. Well, listen, you'd be a good person. You know, Jay Prittman. I mean, I'm not trying to, but people we know that are serious about it and want to. It's probably not great for you because you have a certain. It's very hard for you to have a total objectivity. I'm not being critical, but you know, you have people as guests in your shows and, you know, things like that. But you certainly do know the categories as well, if not better than anybody. I mean, you're constantly telling me who different people are that I don't know about. So I mean, you have a better understanding of who people are than anyone, pretty much many people I talk to. But yeah, I mean, it's very hard because you're always going to have people that we all have sort of, whether we want to admit it or not, biases, because we do end up being friendly with certain people. It's why I don't vote. I don't feel as though, I feel like I am objective, but I'm not sure I am. And I work for the New York Racing Association. So in a way I have an inherent bias in that. I don't want to show it. And I don't think I do, but it's hard. It's hard. It's such a enclosed industry, right? But I know that however they're doing it now, they're doing it wrong. I'm just looking forward to the all-out Sol Cumin campaign to get really wrapped up. You know, until the distribution of the proper materials for Sol's, they should have just a special award for him.
You know what might help Sol's candidacy? Maybe he should speak out against the caravan. Maybe that might be an effective approach.
I'm only going to make fun of the Sol that I like. I texted him the other day and I said good luck. I said congratulations with Monomoy Girl, and I apologize if I've forgotten if you were involved with any of the other winners. Hard to keep track.
Yeah. Well, no, he was a good sport about the win and the losses. He was
a good guy.
And should also ask you too, because I had Andy yesterday. Andy Beyer joined us, and he explained the spread and the figure. The tricky elements of that figure making portion. Any insight, Andy, from your your perspective?
I'd make Monomoy Girl's figure higher.
Because she ended up, let me see.
I think
it's stronger.
That number should be higher. Yeah, but I haven't talked to Andy about it. I'm sure he has good reasons, but it feels like there was something odd about that. It's hard to imagine she didn't run a little bit higher than that. But whatever. Other than that, no, I'm not a figure maker. I'll defer to him. I wouldn't want to make figs for those turf races.
Yeah, it was a tough.
And unfortunately, obviously, you can't do anything about the weather, and it's a problematic situation, especially when you consider how much rain they got. And it's a problem. The problem with the Churchill Downs turf course is that it historically has become very, very bad towards the inside paths, especially down the inside when it rains a lot. And the good news is that people have finally figured it out. But as a result, it does affect the races and affect the results and affect the running the races, and that's unfortunate. And there's nothing they can do about the weather, and you can't blame them for that, but it's sort of been a general inherent problem with the with the courses at Churchill. You certainly can't blame any of us for weather and stuff. And it's just sort of one of the elements of that. But I think it's better to have run it there. One of the problems that I have with running the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland is that, boy, it felt like those turf races, there were just an awful lot of horses that really didn't handle that course. And it feels like running that late at Keeneland, that course has really taken a beating, that it's just not really... It hasn't done well. It hasn't handled well in the past. In the past, when they never took races off the turf, never being always
right,
a word you shouldn't use in racing. The one time I remember them before they put synthetic in, they didn't come off the turf when it rained. That was there on days in the spring when it poured, and they just stayed on. That was one of the charms of Keeneland. But I remember, I think it was the 95 fall meet, when the Breeders' Cup was at Belmont, I remember the weather had been cold and rainy, and the course just fell apart, and they just had no choice but to take them off the last, maybe it was the last 2-3 days. I remember exactly how many races, how many days, but I remember them coming off and thinking how unusual it was. And it wasn't specifically, oh, it rained, we came off, it was specifically just, the course just sort of fell apart. And I felt like that if you look at the Breeders' Cup of what was that, 15, felt like there were an awful lot of horses, and Euros included. It wasn't like, oh, they like soft turfs. They handled that course, It just felt like, boy, an awful lot of horses couldn't handle it at all, and that's unfortunate. One of the things that is most appealing about it being at Belmont, and I'm not in any way, it's a long, complicated story on a lot of sides why it hasn't been in New York, but those courses in New York, and I know that we had, a situation this year was so unusual because it never stopped raining for 3 months, and that's not really something that's going to happen too much. in general, those courses are the best, most fair courses I think you'll find in the country. I'm not saying it because it's New York. I mean, Arlington has terrific courses as well. I don't want to, you know. But for the big tracks, I don't think anybody would dispute that Belmont has the best courses to use. I don't think anyone would dispute that. Europe, West Coast, East Coast.
Well, in the meantime, Aqueduct and the new double wide.
New courses.
Let's get a couple of minutes. We got about 10. Let's talk about opening weekend at Aqueduct, which featured some performances that some people probably missed, and that included No Dozing, spectacular effort in the Bold Ruler, and then it closed out on Sunday, the George Weaver two-year-old from Matt Gatsis and Randy Hill. I saw that in the car coming home. Vekoma, that was impressive.
No, I agree. Vekoma, very impressive in his debut. He broke his maiden September 23rd, that Sunday. Fast race, big second place horse, came back and won. It was it was hard to really judge because that horse came back on a gold rail. But yeah, and Vekoma, the question with him was distance, but he rated kindly and he stretched out and was very good. The Network Effect, who finished second, hadn't run since August 11th at Saratoga, ran extremely well to finish second, but wasn't getting Vekoma, got a 99 buyer. That was a super, super performance. I mean, both two-year rays came up fast. That weird long shot, Miss Oxy or something? Of course, the one attempted on Friday, she got a 96 buyer. That race was on the fog. But Vekoma is very, very, very exciting. I agree. And I saw the comments short Weaver said after the race, if all goes well, no reason we won't be running in the Remsen. And, obviously game winner was extremely impressive in the Breeders' Cup, but there's other two-year-olds around, including for Bob Baffert, who were still on the street sense for him earlier in the card that day.
Improbable.
So Bob had a couple of impressive horses there, and I think Vekoma was extremely impressive in New York. So this is the time we see a lot of good two-year-olds. Unfortunately, it just doesn't stop raining in New York. It rained yesterday. We had two stretches of rain yesterday, two. One of all time when I went out to the market, and I think it's raining now, and somehow unbelievably, you just don't know where it all comes from. I know there hasn't been a rain cloud that's missed us in the last 4 months.
No, it's nuts.
It's really, it's remarkable. I know. It's incredible. But nonetheless, it was good to be back in the Big A. Busy. A lot of people there.
Nice.
A lot going on. Yeah. We'll be back in action tomorrow.
And I have not had a chance yet to look ahead, but I was I was trying to catch up on what went on over the weekend. Teresa Z in the turn back the alarm.
She was very impressive. She's really good. Yeah, I mean she didn't have even the best of trips in there. She sort of got herself shuffled out and just she buried the field.
That's Anthony Margotta and. She's been okay, Teresa Z. She's won some stakes, and this was an okay
field.
I agree,
and she's in good form. I mean, she ran well when she finished fourth in the Belding.
And who else did we miss?
Oh, we mentioned No Dozing. Yeah, because we ran the Bold Ruler, which we canceled last Saturday. He was very good.
Right.
It's funny, Colefront, who was coming back off a long lap and run between the Galabot, he was extremely chilly on the board. He was a very slight favorite in the double. He was as high as 4-1 with like 10-12 minutes to go. And he ended up 2-1, but he didn't run a step. I mean, it's hard not to, He and Cloud Computing came back as well on Sunday, and he had a little trouble. And, I think the rider made favors, but it didn't make any difference. Didn't matter. He ended up being eased basically there, which is unfortunate. Both of those horses, I don't know where they go from there, unfortunately. But that's what happens when horses have issues. They don't always come back. But No Dozing was very good. Obviously it's a prep for the Cigar Mile. Whether or not he can put in that kind of performance in a more competitive scenario remains to be seen. But he runs back to the race. He ran the Bold Ruler. It'll be formidable in there. I mean, the Cigar is obviously open. I mean, there has been some talk, right, that City of Light could come, right? Or is that not the case?
No, it is. Michael just said that about half an hour ago with me.
But he's coming for the Cigar. He's
If he's right and if everything's okay, that's absolutely on the table.
Oh, that's awesome. Good. Good. Nice to see him win. Good guy. Yeah. Oh, great. Good. Good. Look forward to that.
Couple of two-year-olds, Andy. I caught up with a couple of performances that were notable, including Party with Friends on Friday, and then on Saturday. What about the Alan Goldberg colt?
Yeah, that's
the right path.
I didn't see.
82.
That's not bad. Yeah. Well, I agree. This is the time we see a lot of good two-year-olds. You know, around this time of the year at Aqueduct. Turf and dirt. If it stops raining, we'll see some good turf horses. If not, we'll just see good dirt horses. But yeah, there's always a lot of good 2-year-old race in the first. I mean, we used to just be the main track, you know, going to the inner, but now obviously we're on the main all the time. But I fully expect to see some very nice 2-year-olds between now and before Christmas, if not after. It's always a good time. I mean, people get their horses started late, and you know, they're sort of point for Saratoga, and I'm sure it happens out in California, too, with Del Mar. And horses, you know, have little issues, and they miss races, and they start later and later and later. But, yeah, no, I expect to see some really nice horses. And that Nashua, it was good. You know, it's one of those races that was good going in and good going out. Far too often they're really good going in, and you come out, and you go, meh. But this was not. I mean, that was a very, very impressive race.
Well, and I know that Randy Hill was pretty excited.
Matt. I saw him after the race.
He does talk about
some other big race he won. That's okay. I told him it was kind of a tough weekend to keep up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's one of the great characters around the game.
A long time. Randy used to come to the seminars.
Good guy.
Back in the day, 20 years ago.
Andy, you know, I don't know how often he's gonna appear at Aqueduct, but he does. Trevor McCarthy seems to be taking some calls and coming up.
Well, he rode here last winter,
right? And is that the plan? Do you know? Have you heard?
But I would imagine he'll be here.
Good.
I like Trevor.
Good.
He's a good guy. It's funny. Yeah. Somebody said to me on Twitter, that was a great ride by Trevor McCarthy on Teresa Z or something, and it actually wasn't a good ride. Hughes is very good. And I said, you know, all respect to Trevor, it wasn't a good ride. Hughes is much the best. And he came back and agreed with me on Twitter. I did not like him. I think Trevor's a good guy and a good rider, good young rider.
I
assume he'll ride here in the winter. I mean, since he was here last year, I hope so.
Good.
He's very well here. He's good.
Well, and you know, there's quite a few things happening between Rosario going back to the West Coast for the winter, and there'll be some movement. You know
he
who very
so well
quietly
at Gulfstream. He did so well at Gulfstream. Why would he possibly not want to go back?
We should get Ron Anderson because obviously it was a tremendous Breeders' Cup for Rosario.
Yeah. He won both 2-year-old dirt races, and he won with Accelerate.
He was.
I like Joel a lot. I think he's a sensational rider. He's just a hard guy not to like. I don't know how you don't like Joel. He's one of the really enjoyable people around the track.
He's always got that wry smile on, right?
He's a funny guy, Joel.
Yeah, he is. He's affable,
I think it's probably a good move for him to go to California in the winter. I'm sure it is, and he and Ryle do fine. They'll do great out there, and I can understand for a lot of reasons going out there. Listen, to me, you set foot on a nice day, and it's nice most days at Santa Anita, and you feel like you never want to leave. I think Santa Anita is just as nice a racetrack as you could possibly be at. Love it.
That's for sure.
It's really a great place. Aesthetically, it's just a great place to spend an afternoon.
You're not going to get an argument for me.
Yeah, no, I love it there. I'll have to try to get out there this winter. Go see Joel.
There you go.
And I'm sure he'll do really well out there. He's a sensational rider. I was really happy to see him win with Accelerate. IRAD had a tremendous weekend. And, you know, it's good for
him. Yeah, he did.
IRAD's been a very good rider for years, but I really feel like he's been good all year long. I really think he stepped things up. You know, and once he gets fully attuned to biases, he'll be a perfect rider. But no, he had a great weekend at Breeders' Cup. That ride he gave on the horse that won the filly in their sprint was just isn't getting better than that.
You know who also got a little bit more of a, I think, a little bit more time, you know, in the spotlight. His wins will come at, you know, on a more regular basis, was Manny Franco. And, of course, he rode Vekoma on Sunday. But he actually, you know, with the limited chances, I thought Franco was okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Couldn't tell you one horse he rode off the top of my head, but, you know, I'm a fan of Manny's. I like him a lot as a rider. So I think Manny's going to have a great career.
He obviously, you know, kind of in the shadow with a tiny bit of the, you know, of the Ortiz brothers. But, you know, we had the mount on Discreet Lover, but he won the nightcap with Divine Miss Gray, and he was third for on Stellar Agent in the Juvenile Philly Turf.
Like I said, Manny's going to have a lot of big wins in his career. Got a big career out of him.
Andy, the winter season underway. The Big A, and look forward to getting down there too myself, and look forward to.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
I know, that's true.
It's going to be so great. I'm going to see the Gary Hart movie.
Right oh, now. Very good. Very
well,
good.
Good.
Let me know.
That'll be kind of interesting.
And have you been to the polling station yet?
See, I just got up.
Okay.
It happens to be very close to where I'll be spending. I go to the movies, get lunch. It's right by where I'll get lunch. So
perfect.
I'll be going after lunch.
This will be an outstanding day for you.
Enjoy the rest of your show.
Andy Serling, everybody. The man who helped the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge winner win. Oh, we love it. Andy, a vintage Andy Prizzitt. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We're 90 and 90 to come. Petey Miller is going to join us next. You know what, actually? Do we really need to have Peter join us? Why don't I just, Casey, we should just pull last year's conversation. How is it going to be any different? Roy H. and Sturry Liberal. We should just run last year's visit and see if he wants to comment. Back after this with Pete Miller.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer to the guns of Brixton. The money feels good, your life you like it well, but surely your time will come as in heaven as in hell.
We're back. And Peter Miller is back, and I was kidding as we went to the break that we could just as easily pull out last year's tape. Pete, I don't know if you got busy, but we could just play last year's conversation if we want, right? Stormy Liberal, Roy H., Hartoonian, Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Is there anything new to add?
Hello?
There, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm getting in my car. I'm breezing horses. I'm driving over to the front side to clock some horses here.
Nice. Well, I was kidding because I was saying we could just as easily just run last year's conversation.
Yeah, well, you kind of, but a little different. This was, you know, on the road and a little different circumstances. But, yeah, it was deja vu all over again.
You know, also, you know, that was the press conference was one of the more amusing things. Have you been able to figure out what it is that they've told you you accomplished?
Yeah, I'm still working on that. it feels like I'm back in trigonometry or something. But I think what he was trying to say was that we were the only person to ever win two Breeders' Cups 2 years in a row with the same horses. I think that's what he was trying to say.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's unique. I mean, it's a unique accomplishment. And, you know, you bring up really the key element. This wasn't Del Mar. It's not like you were repeating in a circumstance, you know, the same configuration, the same racetrack. It's a year later, and it is hard to bring horses back and do this. And, let's start with Stormy Liberal. We'll do it chronologically. What were your thoughts about the way the turf course was going to play, first of all?
You know, that was my big concern with all three of my horses was, you know, I knew they loved it, you know, firm. I was very skeptical on how they would take to the wet, and two of them didn't take to it at all, Conquest Tsunami and Richard's Boy. But Stormy Liberal, he just amazes me. He just runs on anything, you know, like they say, broken glass.
In terms of the approach to the race, and you bring up Conquest Tsunami, who, you know, has been involved in paces, and Richard's Boy, what was the team approach? What were your, you know, what was your game plan when it came to Flavian Pratt and Paco and Drayden?
Well, you know, really, it wasn't because there was so much question about how they were going to handle the turf and everything. I didn't feel like like we could count on one, like, oh, we're going to use this one for a rabbit and come with this one. I just didn't have that confidence. I felt like, you know what, you guys just need to ride your own races, you know, get a position. They all are tactical horses. So that was just like, you know, hey, the rail appeared to be dead on the grass. It just appeared that, you know, the drainage is there and it hadn't been used. So it seemed like everyone knew that. So it seemed like everyone was staying at least, you know, 4 to 5 paths off the rail. So that was it. I just said, hey, you know, get a position. You know, obviously don't go head and head with each other. Try and stay on the crown of the course, you know, the middle of the course. And, you know, it just worked out. It was kind of crazy when Stormy Liberal broke on top. That was kind of the last thing I thought would happen. I thought it was Richard's Boy. When I saw the silks, I thought, oh, that's got to be Richard's Boy. But it was Stormy. And then, you know, and then Drayden just did a great job of letting him settle, let the service horse go, and then Richard's Boy kind of went up there with another horse, and they kind of engaged him. And that horse was really tough to get by. That horse ran a winning race. I my hat's off to John's horse. Jason's horse, sorry. Jason.
Absolutely. The Jason Service and World of Trouble. And the decision by Drayden is really fascinating, because I would venture, Peter, that the majority of riders, this is a 5.5 furlong turf sprint. And for him to think, all right, I don't want the lead here. I'm going to, you know, bring him back a little bit, ease him off. That's a confident decision from a young rider.
You know, he is. He's very very mature for his age, and very confident and very talented. And you know, he knew that wasn't that wasn't his style to be on the lead. So, you know, he was smart to say, hey, we're not gonna, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are we gonna go, you know, turn him into a front runner now? So, again, just a great ride, a great ride by Drayden, and just a gutty performance, you know, by both John's horse, Jason's horse, and Stormy. Both of them, really, neither one of them deserved to lose.
They kept as they. Basically, were dueling each other, and once Drayden engaged Irad Ortiz with World of Trouble, they just, with every jump, they were extending themselves away from the field, and it came down to them, and it became obvious in the late stages. Stormy was, you know, was edging. He's remarkable in that, Peter, he can adjust. Not every sprinter, whether, and we'll talk about Roy H. obviously in a minute, not every sprinter, dirt or turf, can move interchangeably between 5 furlongs, 5.5, 6, even as long as 7 when it comes to New York, and then, of course, coming down the hill, 6.5 at Santa Anita. This is a horse that absolutely knows the wire and manages to adjust to whatever circumstance. He's a scary proposition.
He really is an incredible horse, and I've never trained anyone like him, and he does it all. He probably could go a mile, you know, be honest with you. I think he has even in the past won or run second at a mile. So he just does everything well, and he just has such a heart and wants to win. And like I said, those two were 7-8 clear of the third horse, and I think they got like a 119 buyer or something.
Correct.
Ridiculous.
Correct.
You know, so, I mean, that turf course was 2-3 seconds slow, and for them to run 104 flat, really, and to be, you know, 7-8 clear of the third horse going 5.5 was a tremendous performance by both those horses. And you know, I'm just glad we came out on the winning end.
It should also be noted that this is a horse that you brought to Hong Kong. You engaged in the Hong Kong Sprint. You came back and then got him ready to go to Dubai, where he ran an absolute corker to just miss in the Al Quaz. And so, you know, there was a lot of mileage put on between Del Mar last year and Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's danced every dance and ask for more. You know, you just can't, you just don't find horses with that kind of durability and that kind of constitution that can travel, run well, travel again, and, just keep on going. And so he's really a remarkable athlete. And, I'm just, thankful to have him.
Well, we'll fold in the Rockingham, Burnson and Brian Trump portion in a minute. We'll use that cumulatively to talk about the two wins. But what's ahead for him? He's a six-year-old. He certainly had a nice full, as we said, put a lot of mileage on. He went 5-for-7 last year. This year, 4-for-7 with 2 seconds, and really the only performance in the calendar year that was off. Really an off performance was the trip to Hong Kong, where you said you will not be returning. How durable, do you see him? Is he's going to be 7 next January? He seems to be thriving.
Yeah. I mean, he's in career form. So, I never, don't just give horses time off for the sake of giving them time off. They need to tell me, hey, I'm tired, hey, I'm out of form, hey, I'm sore. And he hasn't told me any of those things, so we're going to keep going until he tells me otherwise.
Nice. And of course, plenty to anticipate. All you got to do is look at his last couple of seasons and kind of figure where he might turn up. And of course, he gets the opportunity to work toward next year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, which is down the hill. He might even have a home field advantage by the time we get back to Santa Anita.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, to get back there. Yeah, he's really tough down the hill. And, we're looking forward to that.
The Hernandez, the Siren Lure, the Daytona, the Eddie D. We'll go out on a limb. And if anybody's making future book plays for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint next year, Santa Anita, you can start with Stormy Liberal.
I think he's got a very big chance of getting back. And it's a long ways away, but on that course. He's as good as anybody I've ever seen. So, hopefully we can at least get there. That's all. My hope is we can get back there.
There you go. Would you consider going back to Dubai with him, to the Al Quaz?
Yes, I think Dubai we would definitely consider. They've raised the purse. I believe it's $1.5 million now. And, he liked the course. He really could have won with a little better trip. He had a little bit of trouble, and if he's doing well and things line up, I could foresee, with these turf sprinters, there's not a lot of big money races, so you kind of gotta pick your spots. And I think if we could, maybe run him, four times a year, something like that, and, point to the Al Quaz and the Breeders' Cup as our goals, I think that would be an ideal situation.
Well, turn around and talk about Roy H's performance. He overpowered this group, and it was a good group. And when they came off the turn, it was obvious what was going to happen down the stretch.
Yeah, he's just a beast. I don't know what other what to say. He's just, when he's on, there's I don't know of him, and I can't remember too many sprinters that could beat him. He's just a phenomenal horse, and you know, we had a little hiccup in the Bing Crosby. He wasn't himself. He had worked a little fast, too close to the race. And, you know, I don't like to make excuses, but had bled a little bit in the work. And but we changed stuff up. He just wasn't himself. He's back on it. He they were going fast. They went 21-1, and he moved up on them like they were standing still. He's just an amazing horse.
This was a breakthrough Breeders' Cup win. Paco Lopez, I think, was 0-9, and so a big moment for Paco.
Yeah, I was really happy, to get Paco his first Breeders' Cup and Drayden his first Breeders' Cup. Stormy Liberal got me my first Breeders' Cup. So, there are a lot of firsts going on. And, words can't really describe, you don't dream that you can, once was crazy enough. To do it 2 years in a row is just beyond anything we could ever thought about. And I'm just blessed and thrilled and, thankful. Gary and Amy Hartunian for giving me the opportunity to train these horses.
I mentioned I wanted to get to them, and Brian Trump, of course, who is the racing manager, and David Burnson partnered in with the team. Just happened that I watched the, I guess it was the sprint. They were right behind me, and it was delirium again. A little bit less delirious than last year, but it was still pretty joyous.
Yeah. Now last year was completely surreal. This one was just surreal. It was something else, and it's always great, to have your owners there. Unfortunately, Gary and Amy decided to stay home in LA this year, but I think they got as much joy watching it at Santa Anita. Really blessed and thankful and appreciative for the opportunity. And, I know how difficult just to get to a Breeders' Cup. A lot of guys never even get into a Breeders' Cup race, let alone win one. So, I'm just thankful,
They're both 6-year-olds and geldings, and it does feel like Roy H. You are a little bit more judicious with him, and there's a lot more interruption lines, brake lines in his past performances. And Stormy, it feels like when he gets into a nice rhythm and roll, you've given him breaks when opportune, but it does feel like he's slightly hardier than Roy H, and you've got to be a little bit more deliberate with your time and placement.
Yes. No, I think you're accurate, or you're 100% accurate. I think, and there's multiple things. One, he is a little more fragile than Stormy. Also, you've got a dirt horse, compared to a turf horse, and they do have to run at those top level dirt races. They really have to kind of gut it out to win those things, and so you need to space your races. And in Stormy, he just seems to do enough to get it done. He doesn't seem to overextend himself. Where Roy H, he's not afraid to win one by 3 or 5.
He also, when you look at his record, and of course he just missed, you realize how close you came to winning 2 races on World Cup night. I mean, people should realize. I'm going to ask you a crazy question. I mean, everybody's already talking about the Justify Accelerate Horse of the Year question. Could a case be made that Stormy Liberal's actually the Sprinter of the Year?
A case could be made, honestly. He's not undefeated because he did lose in all cause. I wish there was a division for turf sprinters, We could certainly, get that. But, it's not out of the question. I mean, I think that might have been the top buyer of the year at any distance, on any surface. He's done nothing wrong. So, I'm just, like I said, just glad to be in a position that it looks like we get two of the best sprinters on either surface.
It's amazing. And, the only domestic beat, you did travel too with him, not only to Hong Kong and to Dubai, but you also sent him to the Jaipur as well.
He tried
the Jaipur.
He had more frequent flyer miles than I did. He really traveled and he's just a neat horse. Both those horses are just so cool. They're just a pleasure to train. They're sweethearts. They're loves, and they just want to do their job. They love their job, and as long as I can stay out of their way, keep them healthy, happy, and halfway fit, they'll do the rest.
Peter Miller with us, celebrating the two wins again this year. And Peter, obviously, it's been an emotional year. We fold in everything that happened at St. Louis Ray, and that has been one of the most moving stories in anybody's recent memory. And you were right in the middle, obviously, of that conversation. And for you personally, and for your career, you're four wins away from 1,000 in your training career, and that'll be celebrated here in the next week or so as well. Just some reflection for you and what this means for your career.
It's been a crazy, crazy year. it's almost too much to take sometimes, and it was, and we're hoping for a lot calmer year in 2019. Reflecting back, it's been a roller coaster. It's been great. And, looking back on, almost at 1,000 wins, it's quite an accomplishment, for our team. I feel blessed to have, clients like Gary Hartunian and Gary Barber, long-term clients that are very loyal and supportive and give me the horses to win a lot of races. And I've got a tremendous crew. I got a tremendous team behind me. The trainer gets the credit, but I get the credit, but they do the work. So, I just want to thank everyone that's on our team.
Peter Miller, and one more performance to include in this conversation, Painting Corners, who we discussed last time we spoke. Certainly, speaking of the hill, coming down the hill, got caught in that Ken Matty the other day.
We were missing our regular rider, and because he was at the Breeders' Cup, I think Evan Romani did a fine job, but I think she kind of got away from him a little bit and opened up 4 or 5 coming down the hill, and I think she paid the price the last 16th of a mile. But she's a very good filly, an up and coming filly, and I'm looking for big things from her this year.
Well, and that's for Slam Dunk and Altamira. Peter, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, visit like this, and I'll congratulate you in advance of win number 1,000 probably next
Thank
week.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Always nice to talk to you, and always good to be on the show.
I appreciate it. Peter Miller, everybody. You can follow Petey, of course, on Twitter as well, Peter Miller Racing. And this is a big accomplishment. It's a unique accomplishment as well. And there's no reason to think that both of these horses, Roy H. and Stormy Liberal, will not be back again as 7-year-old geldings. And particularly Stormy Vogel.
From your mouth, to God's ears.
I love it. Pete, we'll see you at, I'll be at Los Al, that Starlit weekend, Starlit Futurity. So we'll see you over there.
Cool. All right, I'll look for you.
Excellent. Peter Miller, folks, and a big win, a big pair of wins, and almost a third in the Ken Matty on Saturday. Back after this, top of the hour, we got John White to visit. We got quite a bit yet. Stay with us. Hour three.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.